Welcome to StarCast from Planet Waves. My name is Eric Francis Coppolino, host of Planet Waves FM and the author of the Planet Waves Horoscope, here with an edition of StarCast for Friday, 12th November, 2021. Good to be with you. First, a couple of house announcements. There's a spectacular new edition of Planet Waves FM about to be posted. Parts of it are already up. It's a wildly diverse edition, including revisiting 2012. I was able to make contact with a Mayan calendar specialist and archaeologist and surveyor of the Mayan pyramids, a man named Ed Barnhart. We talked for an hour and 15 minutes. That's part of the program. Much else in there, but this will be the most, let's say, a sensible discussion about the Mayan calendar that you have ever heard. There's also a new Planet Waves TV at planetwaves.tv or right above this recording on the StarCast page. You can always find this program at starcast.fm. Okay, let's jump into the astrology. At the current moment, the moon is in Pisces as of 4:33 p.m. Standard Time here on the East Coast. The moon is approaching a conjunction to Pallas Athene and then to Nessus. Now, that is an interesting alignment, and we're going to see a lot more of that in magnified form when Jupiter gets to Pisces, which actually happens on 12/29, but that conjunction won't form until a little bit later into the Northern Hemisphere winter here. And I think what we're going to see with Jupiter conjunct Pallas, the asteroid of law and politics, and Nessus, the centaur of consequences and the return of karma and the results of people's deeds, whatever they may be, there is going to be a lot of talk of, oh my God, how do we not see this? These people are so bad. What are they doing to us? Who knew? Stay tuned. We're getting some of that these days, and let's see what this conjunction has in store for us. Of course, it happens so soon, it might have already happened. Really, this is a thing. Moon conjunct Pallas and Moon conjunct Nessus will be overnight Friday to Saturday here in the Northern Hemisphere. All right, what else? So now, there is a lot of action in the water signs. In addition to all this Pisces, which, by the way, is Moon, Pallas, Nessus, Neptune, there is Mars and Mercury in Scorpio. There's not much in Cancer in the way of planets, but there are weird hypothetical objects without bodies that are slightly beyond what I usually talk about here on StarCast. Anyway, the Moon will be trine Mars overnight Friday to Saturday, and trine Mercury overnight Friday to Saturday. So this is all very intuitive, almost clairvoyant astrology, particularly with the Sun in Scorpio. Somehow some kid was messing with my astrology program and left the Sun out of the chart. That would be me. So the constellation in Scorpio, in addition to Mars and Mercury, includes the Sun and what's that one called? Vesta. That one, my favorite asteroid, Vesta. And so we're in this intuitive, sexual, have a good time partying in the style of the 1970s. Or you can take it as a spiritual thing, or you can lament about your daddy issues, which I highly don't recommend doing. I mean, why lament about daddy issues when you can just get over them? Where am I getting daddy issues from? Well, Pallas Athene is the asteroid of daddy issues, famously so. It's also really the daddy issue of Pallas Athene is daddy pleasing. Where that comes from is how Athena was born when Zeus's head split open and she emerged in full armor. So she does not have a vaginal birth, and she's not born naked. She's born ready to fight, ready to defend the empire, ready to defend and protect the city of Athens. And when I went up onto the Acropolis, by the way, P.S., I went up there and visited Athena's temple, and I looked out over the city which she is protecting, and I cried. The notion, it is beautiful to see this city spread out in all directions of all these white buildings against the blue sea. And high up on this hill is this temple complex called the Acropolis. And the most important temple is not the Parthenon. It's called the Erechtheum. And that is where Athena has her home. We did have a brief conversation there. I'll share the details of that another time. So the daddy pleasing comes from this whole business of how Athena is born from the head of Zeus in full armor. So whatever that means, daddy to you, daddy pleasing is a big issue now. Lots and lots of people are doing it. They're doing things because that's what the person in authority says. We've gotten our second Anthony Fauci miso holy candle. We'll have photographs of those for you soon. We're setting up a shrine in the Planet Waves office right next to Yogananda's shrine to Anthony Fauci. Of course, for humorous purposes, adorned by a gigantic wall-sized periodic table of the elements. Okay, back to astrology. Another interesting thing going on now is that Saturn and Chiron are moving into their third sextile of the year. When you've got slow-moving planets, they tend to repeat aspects in a little cluster of three, usually spread out by about 9 months. And so, for example, have I got the right chart here? No, I need a notebook for this. Hold on a second. I will tell you the days upon which Saturn and Chiron were in a sextile. They were February 9th, June 24th, and then forthcoming on November 26th. So there's about 9 months right there. That's just how it tends to happen. And Saturn in Aquarius is a part of this whole thing of like, you got to do what everybody else says, but that's dark Aquarius. The more, let's say, spiritual and transcendent side of Aquarius is the right people find one another. People respect one another's individualities. As Alice A. Bailey says repeatedly in the book Esoteric Astrology, a group is a group of individuals. Aquarius is the sign of groups. Therefore, the groups indicated by Aquarius are groups of individuals. It is not like the crowd cheering at a football game. That is a mass. It is very different than group consciousness. That crowd at a football game can't really get together to decide much of anything except maybe to have the wave, but half of the crowd is on one side, half of the crowd is on the other side, and it's not really going to be a unified anything. So it's not a group. But a group is a group of self-actualized or self-actualizing individuals. Now we jump over to Aries, where we find Chiron in Aries, which is the very sigil of self-actualization. Self-actualization is the art of self-becoming. It is growth, development, personhood. There's lots of words for it. There's another definition of self-actualization, which is the tropism to become yourself, the actual drive, like a plant's leaves and branches reach for the light, a plant's roots reach for the water. The roots of a willow tree will crack through a sewer main or a water main to get to the water. That's why you don't want a willow tree too close to your house. It's going to start cracking things open and trying to get the water. That's a tropism. Chiron in Aries is a tropism for you becoming you. And so this is very intense drive that is pretty much saving the day right now. There's enough people who are insistent on being individuals that at least society is finding out that they exist. Now, there's people calling them names and saying that they're poorly behaved, firemen and nurses and police officers and correction officers. Oh, and football quarterbacks, naughty, 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 wanting to have some bodily integrity, and you choose what you put in your body. That's how I understand the social contract. The social contract, that word, remember that concept? Well, it means something. It means, I won't kill you. And so the social contract is, I have a right not to be killed by you, whoever you are. Biden, Fauci, Moderna, Pfizer, my boss, whatever. I get to make my own choices. And fortunately, Chiron in Aries is driving that urgency for individuality, And everyone is feeling it. Everyone knows this is happening, that it is real. And there are different ways to respond to this. There's a way to respond to it by saying, yes, I'm going to be myself. I'm excited about this. I've wanted to do this for a long time. I'm always subverting my own desires. I'm always betraying myself. Now I'm not going to do that. Now I'm going to find myself. Now I'm going to grow. Now I'm going to go to therapy. Now I'm going to listen to what my inner voice is saying. Chiron in Aries. That's what it feels like. The need, the desire to become yourself. So that's going on. That's that aspect, again, is applying now for the third and final time. Saturn is in direct motion. Chiron's in retrograde motion. Nonetheless, Saturn will complete the sextile, bypass Chiron, and never retrograde back to that degree where Chiron is for a sextile. There will be a conjunction. We are now approaching the conjunction of Saturn and Chiron. That is a way off. It probably happens in about 5 years from now. One last thing to talk about, which is that Venus is getting ready to go retrograde in Capricorn. Venus is retrograde the least of all the planets, only 8% of the time. Or said in more common terms, Venus is retrograde for 6 weeks every 18 months. And those 6 weeks are coming up between 12/19/21 and 1/29/22. So there will be a little more, six weeks, let's see, it looks like 30 days of January approximately, and a little under 3 weeks of December. So that's like 7 weeks. Did I get that right? Math is hard when you're thinking on your feet. So about 7 weeks of Venus will be retrograde for. But the thing that the reason it's coming up now is that Venus is entering what's called its shadow phase. So that means shadow phase for Mercury, Venus, or Mars, or any planet really, but really about Mercury, Venus, and Mars, is when the planet enters the degrees where it will be retrograde. It advances a few more degrees through those, then it goes retrograde in those degrees, then it stations direct, and we have the second shadow phase where Venus is moving direct. Yes, the shadow phase is always direct. Venus is moving direct in the degrees where it was recently retrograde. So when Venus is occupying the degrees of the retrograde before the retrograde, that's the forward shadow, and then when it's in those same degrees, it's after, it's the second shadow. Okay, fine. So that begins on 11/17 on Wednesday. Venus in Capricorn enters the degrees where it will be retrograde. So the process begins. Really, though, Venus is retrograde for only about 7 weeks. The retrograde process actually lasts about 4 months. And so that will begin. And Venus retrograde, well, people say different things about it. It's good to be careful with resources, to be conservative with your resources, and not, not overspend and not get things you don't need, for example. But another thing about Venus retrograde is people who were in your life in the past showing back up again. So that might happen. If an old love or love affair or love interest shows back up, it doesn't mean that you're going to get married and live happily ever after, but it might mean you have some fun together. It might mean you get to experience this person and have some closure with whatever happened in the past. Also, Venus retrograde in Capricorn, to me, is a commentary on finding your values in the midst of all of this corporate dictatorship of priorities. Right? Venus is also a very individual, personal, private planet. In Capricorn, though, it's in the context of government and corporations and family and institutions and banks and all these things that Capricorn represents. And so this is really about finding your worth in the midst of all of these other definitions and concepts of your worth that may not be yours. That's my theory anyway. Because this is going to be going on for a while, and we've got a month ahead of the retrograde, a little bit more actually, ahead of the retrograde, I'm going to comment on this many times, maybe make a collection of the things I've said. Hopefully I don't contradict myself too many times, but if I do, send me a note, EFC at planetwaves.com. Net. Don't forget, we are a subscriber-supported publication. I know that doesn't really mean very much to many people, but I've got three people working for me downstairs, an artist, an editor, and an administrative assistant, and without them, I could not bring this program to you, no matter how badly I wanted to. So thank you. Thank you them downstairs, Melissa and Claudia and Lanvi, and thank you for supporting the program. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.